Please open your Bibles to the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter. Numbers chapter 14, page 185 in your Scofield Bible. And beginning with the 28th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 32. Numbers chapter 14, verses 28 through 32, page 185. And for this portion of Scripture, let's stand, please, for the reading of it. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. And together also in verse 32. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And let's pray. And Father, thou art gracious, we thank you for this day. And though we're inconvenienced some by the weather, yet it's a wonderful thing to see this crowd, these good people. We thank you for the blessed joy of church, of thy family, these people, thy children. We thank you especially for our preacher. Help us to carefully listen to that which you've prepared for us through our preacher, in Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, how about those who never saw the promised land? I want to talk this morning about those people who never got there, who never saw the promised land. I believe with all my heart that 75% of the people in this room will never get to the promised land that God had for you originally. I honestly believe that. I'm not talking about any terrible sin that's come into your life. I just think that most of the people in this room are people who will never be able to reach what the full potential that God has planned for us to reach. And I want to talk this morning about those who never saw the promised land. Before I speak, are you too warm this morning? How many are too warm? Would you raise your hands, please?
Too warm.
All right. Brother Randy, knock it down a couple of notches, would you please? I'm afraid something might not be working right this morning because it's down lower than we had planned to have it. Father, bless us, I pray, in this moment as we come to thy word. Teach us what you have for us. Encourage our hearts, please. Amen. Now, I'm sure that those of you who had this bug or whatever it is are aware of the fact that you never know where your voice is going to be. I may have to start talking louder after a while. Sometimes you talk low, it's better, and sometimes you talk high, it's better. So it'll be an interesting venture this morning for all of us as we see what comes out. But I do ask you to listen to me a little more carefully than usual because I do not have my usual voice. The story is a very simple one. The children of Israel had come to the door of the promised land. They had left the land of Egypt. You recall the story. They had traveled right to the door of the promised land. They came to the place we so often mentioned called Kadesh Barnea. From there, they sent out the spies into the land, and those spies stayed there for 40 days, looking over the situation in the promised land. They came back after 40 days and brought the report. They said it's a wonderful land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. They said it's a land that is beautiful and everything is wonderful. But they said the people there are like giants compared to us. And we're like grasshoppers compared to them. So the people voted not to go into the promised land. The spies voted not to go, and the people decided not to go into the promised land. Now, because of that, God punished them. God said, I'm going to cause you to, as a nation, to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, the Bible teaches us why it was 40 years. A year they had to wander for every day that the spies spent viewing out the promised land. The spies were there for 40 days, and God said, I'm going to make you punish you 1 year for every day that the spies viewed the promised land. And he said also, in our verses read a while ago, he said, those of you that are 20 years of age and upward, except Joshua and Caleb, those were the two spies that said we can go in the promised land, said you'll never see the promised land. You'll never go in. Now those that are under 20, you can go in, but those that are over 20, you will never see the promised land. Now I want to look for a few moments at those people. Those people, the people 40 and over. Those that started toward the promised land but never got there. Those who were not privileged by God to see the land that flowed with milk and honey. I want to talk to you about them. I want to say this. Some of the greatest Christians that ever lived are in that group. By the way, one of those, I think, the greatest man in every area that's ever walked on the face of the earth apart from our Savior was Moses. That's what I think. I think Moses was that when you talk about spirituality, you talk about intellect, you talk about leadership, you talk about training, you talk about ability, you talk about power. I think the greatest man that ever lived was Moses. But even though he was what I think is the greatest man that ever lived, he was among these people that never got to go in the promised land. Moses never got to go in. So I'm not condemning you this morning when I talk about you. I'm not saying that you're a worse Christian than somebody else. But I am saying that all over this building this morning, there are people who could have been more than you are going to be because of the events of your lives. Now wake up, slap yourself good and hard. Don't oversleep on me. I'm talking about there are people all over this room this morning, and I'll say most of the people in this room this morning are people who will never be what you were intended to be totally. For example, God intended for Moses to go inside the promised land. Moses did not go inside the promised land. And though he was the greatest man in the Old Testament, I think we'd all agree to that, and maybe the greatest man in the Bible, which is probably disputable, but nevertheless, he was one of those that did not see the total fulfillment of God's purpose for his life. Now, I want, for all of our young people, I want that straight journey toward the promised land. I want total fulfillment for all of our young people. I'm not advocating being in this group that 20 and above. I'm not advocating that. I want you to be a part of that group that never leaves the will of God, never veers to the right, never veers to the left, always marching toward the promised land. That's what I want for. I want for all of our young people never to taste a drop of alcoholic beverage. I want for all of our young people never to smoke a cigarette. I want for all of our young people never to take any pot. I want for all of our young people to be clean and pure. I want for all of our young people to be always in the perfect will of God for your lives. But the truth is, most of us who are older in this room this morning have forfeited some of that perfect will of God for our lives. Maybe it's by sin. Maybe some sin that you committed has caused you to have to forfeit the best that you could have been in your life. Maybe it's because of sometimes you quit. You're doing something and you quit, you turn back, and then you got back into it, but it'll never be like it would have been if you hadn't have quit. Or maybe it's because of age. Maybe you came to do what God intended for you to do, but not when God intended you to do it. Maybe the age crept up on you, and you got 35, 40 years old, and now you're doing what you should have done and God wanted you to do when you're 20 years old. I don't know. Or maybe it was a wrong marriage. Maybe it was not being taught. Did you ever say to yourself, I wish I could have grown up in a church like this? Did you ever say, I wish I could have had a church with all the opportunities? And I want to say this too. You young people, don't turn out right in this church. Heavy is going to hang over your head. Been a lot better off if you'd belonged to the First Presbyterian Church than First Baptist Church of Hammond. Been a lot better off if you'd belonged to one of these National Council of Churches than the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Because heavy is going to hang over your head if you grew up at First Baptist Church of Hammond and get all the teaching and the advantages of Hammond Baptist Grade School, Hammond Baptist Junior High School, Hammond Baptist High School, City Baptist High School, Howells Anderson College,
the preaching behind this pulpit and the teaching in our classrooms, I'm saying heavy is going to hang over your head if you don't turn out right. But it may be that you were not led properly as a child or a young person. It may be that you were not taught properly. But I want to say this. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. Some of the finest people I know have missed the best. For example, I know young people who came to Howells Anderson College, young couple maybe, and they were going to serve God full time. He was going to pastor maybe. But something happened. Maybe he dropped out of college for several years, and maybe he got so financially involved he could not go back. Or maybe he got off into some kind of a sin and wrecked his life or something. But some of the finest members of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, will never see your promised land. But you're doing a wonderful job for God as laymen here in this church. And I'm not condemning you. This morning I'm going to talk to you and try to help you to get the most out of your life. Now I want to say several things about these people. These people 20 and over who never got to see the promised land. Now follow me carefully. Number one, God still loved them. God still loved them. We've got a certain kind of fundamentalism in America today that teaches that when you do something wrong, God hates you. And God's going to knock the devil out of you. No, God may spank you in love, but God loves you as much as He ever loved you. If this morning you're one of those, back yonder in early in your life, maybe, you had some plans and God had some plans for you. And you've often wondered what might have been. And you've often wondered what should have been. If I had done this or turned this way or made this decision or done this thing, but I'll never be totally what God intended for me to be. Let me say again, God still loves you. So, that's the first thing. Number two, God still led them. He still led them. Now, wait a minute. They'll never see the promised land. It was God's plan that they go from the land of Egypt across the wilderness to Kadesh Barnea, go right inside the promised land, possess the land. But these people will never see the promised land. But God did not quit leading them. You see, when you have forsaken the perfect leadership of God and no longer can do the perfect will of God, God makes an alternate plan for your life and still leads you. Here are these people. God has said, you will never see the promised land. You'll never get inside the promised land. But He said, every day you will see a pillar of cloud in the sky. And that pillar of cloud will lead you. And every night, you will see a pillar of fire, and that pillar of fire will lead you. God said, I'll lead you. Okay, you're not in my perfect will, and you'll never be in my perfect will. You'll die outside what I intended you to do or be, but I am still going to lead you. Now listen to me. 75% of the people in this room this morning are affected by this truth. God doesn't all of a sudden put you in the garbage can because you don't do number one plan. God's got a plan A for your life, but God also has a plan B for your life. And if you don't do that, God has a plan C for your life. And if you don't do that, God has a plan D for your life. And if I knew any more of the alphabet, I'd go on and on and on and on. I'm saying, listen to me. If you have forfeited God's best for you, God still wants to use you in some area. So God said, you forfeited, you'll never see the promised land, but I still want to lead you. God didn't say, okay, you didn't follow my will in the promised land, get on back there in the wilderness and make it on your own. God didn't say that. God said, you're going to die in the wilderness, but I'm going to lead you every day you're there. Every day you're there, I'm still going to lead you. Number three, these people that never will see the promised land, God said, I love you still. I'm going to lead you still. Get this. God still provided for them. The manna that they had received from heaven all the way across the wilderness is still falling every day for 40 years. And the clothes that they had on never wore out for 40 years. And the shoes on their feet never wore out for 40 years. But to me, one of the sweetest things about it is all is that rock in Horeb. Did you ever think about that? They came to Horeb, and the folks were thirsty. This is back down when they first started the journey. The folks were thirsty. God said to Moses, take your rod and smite the rock in Horeb. Now, Horeb is down in the south part of the wilderness. How in the world do they get enough water? As they travel, how do they get water? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:4, the rock followed them. The rock followed them. I can just see a rock saying, wait for me. Here I come. The rock followed them. Oh, I've read the theology books and says that didn't mean the rock followed them. Well, we'll discuss what it meant later, but that's what it says, isn't it? The rock followed them. Yeah. Somebody said, well, that means that they got enough water to last them 40 years from one time. The rock followed them. Everywhere they went. Now, this wilderness was big, a giant place. I mean, thousands of square miles in this wilderness. Well, they have, and it is a wilderness. They have no water. God didn't one time say, smite that rock in Horeb. And they smote the rock and out came the water. But they kept on going. And going. So, how big the rock was, I don't know. It may have been about that big around. I don't know. Moses may have had to look at it to smite it. I don't know. It may have been a giant kind of a rock. I think it was. I don't know. But it followed them. Every time that God would lead them, He'd lead them with a pillar of cloud in the front and a piece of rock behind. And so, but I'm simply saying, He leadeth me, O blessed thought. He leadeth me. He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me. And so, there's the pillar of cloud leading. And there's the pillar of fire by night leading. And there's the manna falling from heaven. And there's the clothes that don't wear out. And there's the shoes that don't wear out. And, of course, as I said so often, that to me is the funniest thing of all. They wore the same pair of shoes for 40 years. Now, can you imagine some little kid that was 6 months old wearing booties? And as he grows up, his feet get as big as Brother Bordway's feet. Brother Bordway's feet, you have to buy license plates for them. One day I was not looking carefully and patted his feet and said, God bless you two little fellas. But that was a funny one. But look, I don't feel good. Laugh! But anyway, I can see a size 13 booties on a fellow 30 years old or so. But God said, okay, you're never going to see your best. You're never going to do the thing that I had planned for you, but I'm still your God. You're still my people. I still love you, and I still lead you, and I will still provide for you. See, God doesn't provide for you because you're good. God provides for you because you're His. You see. So, now then, number one, I said about these people, most of you are in this crowd. Look, there are thousands of people in this room this morning who wonder what might have been. If I hadn't have done, or if I had done, or if I hadn't have waited, or if I hadn't have quit, what would have been? Okay, don't worry about that. It is not perfection or nothing. It is not perfect will of God or nothing. The perfect will of God is what God has for you to do now in your present circumstances. Number four,
God use them. I was talking to a fellow the other day. He had lived in a wicked life, and he said, God can't use me. And please don't misunderstand. I'm going to give a little R-rated illustration here. He said, God can't. I said, oh, yes, God can use you. He said, I feel like I'm nothing but dung. I said, that makes good fertilizer. God uses everything, and God uses everybody. Well, how did God use them? Okay, hear me carefully. God used these people who could not ever see the promised land. He used them to train those who could see the promised land. There are people this morning in this room who will never see the promised land for your life. But brother, you can train young people who will see the promised land. Look, their children got to see it. Those under 20 got to see it. Here's a dad, 30 years old, got a little boy, 10 years old. And God said to the dad, you will never see the promised land. But God said to the son, you will. And his dad could line up and said, now son, I'm going to tell you something. I'll never be able to see the promised land, but you will, and I want to train you to be the best you ever could be. Look, I don't think we ought to leave. Now, hear me carefully. I'll be crucified for this. But I want to give you enough nails to do it properly. I do not believe that the training of those to do God's perfect will should be limited to those who do God's perfect will. I think those who have forfeited God's perfect will can train those to do God's perfect will. Can you picture a mother gathering her little children around her and saying, children, your mama can never be all that God intended for me to be, but you can. I'll never see that land that flows of milk and honey, but you will. I'll never know the grapes of Eshcol, but you will. I'll never know the pomegranates of Israel, but you will. And I want to train you. I want to teach you what you ought to be so you can be the kind of person you ought to be in the promised land. You know what? A Sunday school teacher who never was what he or she could have been can train young people to be what they could be. I was down south, and I've used this illustration 4 or 5 times here in the past years and years ago. I was down south, and I walked in the service that night, and the building was about the size of these two center sections here. And walking up that aisle right there was a very distinguished-looking man. I thought the fellow must be a man of some wealth or affluence. And he walked back the aisle, and he stopped me and started to speak to me. Well, I expected an articulate kind of a voice, a very suave-looking fellow, dressed immaculately. And he put his hand out, and I shook his hand, and he went, and I said, sir, I'm sorry, I don't quite understand. And I said, pastor said, Dr. Hiles, come over here, I'll tell you what he said. I walked over, and the pastor said, that man was telling you that one time God called him to be a preacher. But he started to preach, but he turned back and he quit. And because he quit, God took his voice. He's never spoken a word that can be understood since then. God took his voice. He said, everybody that comes to preach here, he walks right to them when they first walk in the building and says, don't ever turn back. Don't ever quit. Don't ever turn back. Don't ever quit. There's a man that could never preach a sermon. There's a man that could never have a word understood. The pastor told me, a man of some means and a man who was building a good church, but he got discouraged and he quit. He turned back. He'll never see the promised land, but he can go to people and say, you keep your journey. You keep on your journey to the promised land. My mother never saw the promised land. Did you hear me? My mother never saw the promised land. But she trained a boy that did. My sister, I hate to say it, she said this morning, my sister never saw the promised land. But she's one of the finest Christians in this room this morning. Boy, it doesn't sound right to you brag on her like that. Makes a good illustration, but I mean that. My sister, the perfect will of God was forfeited in her life because of a mistake here and there. I mean, those years that she was an alcoholic and a dope addict. And And but thank God one day she stumbled into a rescue mission. Some man is preaching the gospel faithfully. She laid down her liquor and her dope, and she came to Jesus, and from sinking sand he lifted her. But
look at her life. Look at the folks she's won to Christ. Look at the people she's helping to train in the Kyle Anderson College right now to find the promised land. Look at what my mother did. I mean, look. There are thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who will be saved today because of the influence of this church. And that's because of the influence of a little woman who knelt beside my bed one night after alcoholic husband had left us. And she said, "Dear God, I can never be a wife again." But she said, "I'll rear this boy for you. If you'll call him to preach, I'll promise you, I'll make a man out of him." And that little woman who never saw the grapes of Eshcol, who never saw the pomegranates of Israel, who never saw the milk and honey flowing in the promised land, that little woman reared a boy who's seen the promised land. That little woman whose husband was an alcoholic reared a boy who's never touched this stuff. I'm simply saying that if you forfeited, don't quit. Don't quit. God's got something for you to do. These people, 20 years of age and older, God said, "You've made a mockery of the promised land. You've refused the promised land. You've rebelled. You'll never see it." But God said, "You're still mine." God said, "I still love you." God said, "I'll still lead you." God said, "I'll still care for you." God said, "I'll still provide for you." And God said, "I'll still use you." You could be a bus captain, and you could lead little bus kids to go to the promised land. And a long time after you've died on the boundary line and looked over and said, "From Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie." And you'll never be able to sing the rest of it, "I'm bound for the promised land," because you'll never be the thing that God intended you to be. You can take some little bus kid and you can help him to be what God intended him to be. This church is composed of people like that. Why, most of the people in this room, somewhere along the line, have forfeited some part of God's best. But if we'll join our hands and say, "By the grace of God, the devil won't get our kids." We'll train them. We'll teach them. We'll pray for them. We'll love them. We'll guide them. We'll lead them. Can you imagine how many homes, moms and dads, looked at their little kids? They knew what the children's future held. They knew that someday after 40 years, they knew their children would go inside the promised land and eat honey they'd never eat and drink milk they'd never drink and eat grapes they'd never touch and see pomegranates they'd never see. And see a land that flows with milk and honey they'd never see. Don't quit serving God because somehow you missed the very perfect will of God for your life. By the way, something else too. These people who never saw the promised land, God still loved them. God still led them. God still provided for them. And God still used them. He used them to raise and train those who will see the promised land. Number two, they can still witness to the heathen in the wilderness. Those heathen people, where they are, still going to have to go to hell someday if they don't get saved. Okay, so God wanted you to be a preacher. Okay, you didn't do it. Okay, it's too late. But there are people where you work to whom you could witness. There are folks in your neighborhood you could tell about the Savior. I was a pastor of a church years ago in Texas, down East Texas, Grange Hall Baptist Church, little country church outside of Marshall, Texas. We had a lady in our church that was a saint. I mean, if there ever was a, you know what I mean, all of us are saints, but you know what I mean, she was a saintly saint. A lot of us are devilish saints, but she was a saintly saint. She was a, and she's the kind that shouted. I mean,
real shouting. By the way, I was at church Monday and Tuesday where two ladies there still can really, really shout. I don't mean hollering. I mean the old kind of shouting. The kind where you sort of get in a little groove there and your eyes roll. And I had to stop preaching Monday night and Tuesday night while a couple of ladies just had a spell. I mean, just had a spell. And I'd have had one too, but I don't know how to do that. But anyway, this dear old lady, she was a church saint. Probably the best Christian in that church for a while. She told me a story one day. How when this young lady, she started going with an unsaved boy. Her mama told her not to. Her pastor told her not to. Her Christian friends told her not to do it. She started going with an unsaved boy. She told me a story how she married that boy and how for a number of years they were outside the will of God. And then she told me how that she got saved and how for years she prayed for that her husband to get saved. And after many years, he did get saved. But that lady was the saint of that church. Look, you can be a saint in the wilderness. You may not see the promised land, and these people could not see it, but you can be a saint in the wilderness. Something else. They can still eat the manna. That manna that fell from heaven was just as available to those that were not going to the promised land as was those that were. Same manna. You can feast upon this book as much as you could if you were in the perfect will of God for your life. If you forfeited that perfect will of God for your life, this book is still available to you. And the truths of this book will come alive to you as much as they will to anybody in this whole wide world. Here's the tragedy. We blow it. Make a mistake. And we say, well, I can never do anything for God again. That's the devil's lie. You can do something for God again. Of course you can. God comes and says, let me use you. You say, I won't do it. You forfeit that perfect thing that God wants you to do, but blessed be God, there's a second thing that God will use you to do. I wonder how many people went into Sunday school classes this morning in First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, to teach those little boys and girls the truth about Naomi and Elimelech and Ruth and Mahlon and Chilion. I wonder how many of those people back yonder years ago made the same type of mistake that Naomi and Elimelech made. And there you are teaching those boys. Who better can tell boys and girls not to drink than those who've drunk? Who better can warn boys and girls to be pure and clean than those who've not been pure and clean? Who better? You know, we say, well, he'll not teach a Sunday school class in my church because back yonder years ago he did so and so. Well, bless God, you sorry Pharisee. Why don't you resign your class? I'll put him in your class. I am not going to hang people on the shelf because they made one mistake. I'm not going to do it. Saying God said to these people, he said, you refused to go inside the promised land, but he said, I want you to know I still love you. And God said, you'll never see that promised land, but I want you to know I'll still lead you. He said, you'll never see that promised land, but I want you to know I'll still provide for you. He said, you'll never see that promised land, but I'll still use you. I'll use you to train those who will so they can be fruitful when they go in. I can use you to witness to the heathen in the wilderness. He said, I can also use you. You can still learn the Word of God. Something else. He said, you can still pray. The person who has not fulfilled God's perfect will has the same access to God's throne that the person who has fulfilled God's perfect will. You can still pray. An old man came to me down in North Carolina years ago. He looked at me and he said, Dr. Hiles, I pray for you every day. I don't know of anything that impresses me like that. A man came to me out in Tucson, Arizona. What's the town I was in near Tucson? Stay out of my preaching. Well, thank you. Wilcox, Arizona. Man walked up to me and looked at me and he said, you've never seen me and this is the first time I've seen you. But he said, years ago, I heard one of your tapes and read some of your sermons and God knitted my heart to you. And he said, Dr. Hiles, I love you like I love my own brother in the flesh. And he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, I want you to know there has not been one single day for years I haven't prayed for you and asked God to bless you. And that warmed my heart. Listen to me. This old man came to me years ago down south, and he said to me, "Dr. Tiles, I pray for you every day." And I said, "I appreciate it." He opened his prayer list up and showed it to me. He showed me a sheet of paper where my name was on. It had been worn. Looked like it was an antique sheet of paper. Looked like a page out of an old book written in the 1860s. There was my name, Jack Hiles. And he said, "I pray for you every day." He said, "Dr. Hiles," he said, "many years ago, God called me to preach, and I didn't do it." And he said, "I can never stand in the pulpit like you can, but I can pray for you. I should have stood in the pulpit, but I can't. I never will. I've blown it." I was in Greensboro, North Carolina, preaching years ago. A lady walked up to me, and she, after the service, she said, "Dr. Hiles," she said, "my husband wants me to give you this." She gave me a certain amount of money. She said, he's out of the country on a business trip overseas, but she said, "He wants you to take this money and buy you a new suit of clothes." I said, "Ma'am, she said, you got to. She said, "Let me tell you the story." She said, "My husband was one time an evangelist in this country. If I called his name, numbers of you folks would know him. He preached revivals all over America, big citywide campaigns." And she said, "Brother Hiles, he did something that caused him to have to leave the ministry." She said, "He's in business now." Now she said, "I'm his second wife." But she said, "He loves you. Brother Hiles, he lives to encourage your heart. Please take this and buy a suit." You know, for 10 years or more, as long as that man was able to, everywhere I preached within 200 miles of Greensboro, North Carolina, that man was always there. He always brought me a little basket of fruit and some Reese's peanut butter cups, and sometimes he'd bring me a little gift certificate. And after the service, he'd come and put a Wendy's Frosty outside the door of my room somewhere, or leave some Reese's peanut butter cups at the clerk with the clerk in the motel. I'm saying, there's something you can do. There's still something you can do. I said, nearly half the people, or more than half the people, 75% probably, in this room this morning, you're in that group of people. You'll never see the promised land for your life. You'll never be exactly where God intended you to be. But our God is the kind of God that realizes we're flesh. He realizes we're human. And our God comes this morning and says to you, wherever you are on the spectrum, from here on, I can use you. And I believe from here on will be the perfect will of God for your life from here on. Now, here's your problem. You spend all your time lamenting what you could have done. And what you're doing, you're blowing it again because you're lamenting the fact you blew it before. Forget it! If you can't go in the promised land, you pick up that little child and train those who can. If you can't be all that God intended you to be, and if you've blown a part of your life, forget it! You give your life from here on in to be all that God wants you to be. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful God. The kind of God that comes to us and says, wherever you are, let's forget the past. You know, as you know, last July, I lost my memory for 3 hours. I was more like God then than I ever was in my life. Because God has no memory at all. Their sins will I remember no more. What about that sin yesterday? He said, "What sin's that?" "Well, Lord, you remember that." "No, I've forgotten that." God's got total global amnesia concerning my sins. And concerning my past. Concerning your sins and concerning your past. And God comes today to you and says, "Hey, how about from now on? Dear God, can I see the promise?" We're not closing the service. Don't leave. "Dear God, can I see the promised land?" "No. You forfeited that."
"Oh, I guess there's nothing I can. I'm not worth anything to anybody."
God said, "Want to bet?" No, he didn't say that. He said, "You sure are." Yeah, yeah. God said you're still worth something to a lot of people. He said, you got some little children down there that had never wandered from the will of God yet. You train them for the promised land. You got some heathen people here that you know that you have to interact with that you wouldn't have interacted with if you had never forfeited your right. But they need to be saved. They need somebody to witness to them. And God comes this morning and says to you, how about from now on? How about from now on? How about from this moment forward? Forget those things behind you. Forget the past. You can't do a thing. You can't win a soul yesterday. You can't preach a sermon yesterday. You can't do God's will yesterday, but you can tomorrow and today. God said, how about from here on? And what a wonderful life these people live. Can you think of anything more wonderful than every morning getting up and God's giving you room service for your breakfast? Can you think of anything more wonderful than you say to your wife, I've gained 10 pounds. And your wife says, yeah, but your coat has gained 3 inches too. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you have been married to a woman in those days? You wouldn't have to buy a new dress for 40 years. Hey, this has all kinds of possibilities. Your wife gets pregnant. That dress just... She has the baby. Just like that. Same dress. This is preaching, boy. Same one. Can you think of anything any more wonderful than for God to give you a room service every morning for breakfast? For God to see to it that for 40 years your clothes don't wear out? And for 40 years your shoes don't wear out? And a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night? And behind you comes a little rock saying, wait for me. Wait for me. And you take that rod out to smite it again. And the rock said, don't hit me. That hurts. Just ask me. Speak to me. And you look at the rock and say, Rocky, want some water? It spews out. What a God. And by the way, that's for those who blew it. Our Heavenly Father,